It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How the Ukraine situation could hit your grocery bill.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Allianz, providing travel insurance and assistance to over 9 million Americans through its affiliated companies in the U.S., allianzusa.com.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Today, Congress is expected to move forward with a measure giving $1 billion in loan guarantees for Ukraine and new authority for broader sanctions against Russia for annexing Crimea. The instability in the region could impact global food prices. About 6% of the world's wheat comes from Ukraine, a good chunk of that grown in the Crimean region. The BBC's Chloe Hayward is here to talk about what that could mean. Hello, Chloe.
Hi.
So there are not signs of any kind of immediate impact on wheat production related to the political issues that are happening right now. But if that were to have an impact, what kind of ripple effect are we talking about that people might see and feel around the world?
Well, the interesting thing is at this stage, yes, we haven't seen a massive change. But at the same time, you must note certain varieties of wheat have gone up in price. They've gone up by $25 a ton already in some places. And the main reason for this is there's a difference in the variety of wheats that Ukrainians plant compared to what you'd see, say, in the United States. So in the United States, they have a hard red wheat that they grow mostly, and that's for bread and flour. Whereas in the Ukraine and in the UK, they focus much more on soft wheats, which that soft wheat is used in biscuit making or what you guys would say cookies. And so there we would definitely see an uplift in price if these problems continue.
We're also seeing prices that have been on the rise for some time because of weather. What's happening weather-wise and how much of an impact is that having on top of all this?
So over the winter in Ukraine, there was a lot less snow than there normally is on the ground, so there wasn't this sort of the melting effect coming through. And in addition, it is just drier. There are basically drought conditions in Ukraine at the moment, and that is having an impact on the prices. But if suddenly there is plenty of rain in the next 6 weeks, that problem could be solved. So it could just go back to the geopolitical tensions. But at this stage, yes, it does look like there are drier conditions then would be ideal.
Okay, the BBC's Chloe Hayward, thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Mark.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in global trading, about 1% in Germany, 0.4% in the UK. Asian markets were mostly up on signs China will make moves to stimulate its economy. Here's a number, 1010, as in dollars per hour. That's what Connecticut's minimum wage is going up to, which will be the highest in the country. The governor signed it into law yesterday. It'll go up gradually, hitting 1010 in 2017. Shares were down yesterday on Wall Street. The S&P dropped 0.2% to finish at 1849. The Dow ended close to where it began, just down slightly to 16,264. The NASDAQ lost 0.5%, ending at 4,151.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Invest Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland, a European location with a young, well-educated, agile workforce at the ready. More at investni.com. By Digital Research, dedicated to helping businesses improve performance through strategic market research designed to discover what their customers really think. digitalresearch.com/reasonforresearch. And by Citrix, with GoToMeeting, connecting people and businesses worldwide in face-to-face online meetings. More at GoToMeeting.com.
This week, we're looking at the changing nature of work in America as part of our collaboration with the New York Times. Today, we're talking temping and freelancing, a reality for millions of Americans more and more every year. Marketplace's Adrian Hill is covering this. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning.
So freelance and temp jobs, they can give you some flexibility, some freedom, but not security. And that lack of permanent work can be really stressful. What are people finding as they look into whether this growth in freelancing is a good or a bad thing overall?
Well, it all depends on who you ask, and it depends on where the freelancer or temporary worker is on the income scale, like, I mean, the difference in rent or not rent. But if you're getting paid a little bit more and you're able to get enough freelance work, for some people, it can actually be incredibly rewarding because they're able to sort of shape a schedule around the life they want. Sarah Horowitz is the founder of a group called the Freelancers Union, and I asked her this same, is this good or bad question?
I think that we have to really be honest with ourselves and say, it's here. So if you say it's a bad thing, you kind of want to say, well, it's not here, so I can deny it. And I don't think that that's healthy for us. Let's accept it, and then let's figure out what we need.
And figuring out what we need and how we understand this temp economy, it's kind of difficult because there is a real lack of good data. What do we know about how many people are going into this kind of work by choice or just ending up in a freelancer or a temp job?
You know, we have really spotty data on this. The government hasn't collected data on the number of contingent workers, which are workers who don't expect their jobs will last, for nearly a decade.
And why is that?
Well, as with all things government, there's just not been the money to do it. Mm. And this lack of data, it matters. Here's Horowitz again.
Whenever you're trying to tackle a really hard problem and you want to have, quote, you know, metrics to know, are we doing it right? The first thing you need to know is your data. And really, as a country, we just don't have good data.
The president's budget proposal does recommend putting money in for this count, but that's a long way from actually happening.
Okay, so what do we actually know about just how big this temp economy really is?
We have a couple of data points to look at. The GAO did a count in 2006 and found about a third of the workforce is contingent. And there they're including temporary workers, freelance workers, part-time workers. We also know that the temp industry has been growing really fast, much faster than average employment growth since the recession. And we know they're freelance everybody's out there. I mean, they're freelance reporters, doctors, CEOs, computer programmers. So we know this number is high and probably growing.
Okay, Marketplace's Adrian Hill. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Adrian's reporting is part of a series on the changing nature of work in America we do with in partnership with the New York Times. You can find the full series at marketplace.org. And finally, a movie with Christian themes is raking it in at the box office. And I'm not talking about the big-budget Noah starring Russell Crowe, which opens today. It's a tiny movie called God's Not Dead, made for only $1.5 million. It stunned Hollywood by debuting at number 4, just behind heavy hitters like Divergent and Muppets Most Wanted. It's made more than $11 million so far. Theater operators are noticing it's expanding to more screens this weekend. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
How much does a college degree mean if you graduated into the teeth of the Great Recession?
Here I am, and I'm starting at the bottom. I enjoyed college, I enjoyed learning, but in the end, it didn't really amount to much for me. Well, if anything at all.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Good jobs for new graduates, or not. Next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.